Jeremiah chapter 38, beginning of verse 6. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire, so Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Now when Abed-Melech the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Abed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, My lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Abed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, Take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. And Abed-Melech took the men with him, and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast flounce and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Abed-Melech the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah, Put now these old cast flounce and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him up out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. I want to preach this morning on this thought, 30 men and rotten rags. 30 men and rotten rags. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your many blessings. Thank you for the opportunity that we have again to share your precious word, the holy, precious word of God. I ask that you would anoint me this morning, for without your anointing, I'm nothing. I am nothing. I need your power. I need you more than I've ever needed you before today. I realize that this message may have been heard and may have even been preached. But Lord, I know this is exactly what you want me to share today. Help me to be a blessing. Help me not to be a burden. And may we all walk out of here today realizing that we can have help through the blessed Holy Spirit of God. We love you today. Thank you for being our God and our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Scotty, in our lesson this morning, made the statement how everything was all twisted around as far as what he thought. And when I came in this morning around 10 o'clock, and one of the very first things I heard him say was, the people around us are not our enemy, but the enemy is Satan. Well, that's the very first line of my notes this morning. The people around us are not our enemy, but the enemy is Satan. So I said, thank God for giving us the win. Now, everything else he said had nothing to do with my sermon. But that one thing was just enough. You should have stopped there. And that would have been, I'm just kidding. Thank you for that inspiring message this morning, by the way. Oh, man. I wanted to come inspired, not sheared, but thank God I got it this morning. I'm just kidding. It was tremendous. Thank you, Scotty. But really, we have a common enemy this morning, don't we? And he is Satan. He's in the business, and his purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his ultimate goal. Now, how many of you know this morning, how many would agree with me that Jeremiah was God's man? Jeremiah was in the will of God. But just because we are a Christian, just because we are in the will of God, does not exempt us from getting into the pit. Sometimes we will have pit experiences. And just because everything is doing good in our life doesn't mean we are not exempt from troubles and trials and pits and circumstances. I want you to notice by way of introduction, not only was Jeremiah in a physical pit this morning, but he was in a spiritual pit. And Satan used three different things to get him into that pit. And I think he uses the three same things today to get us into a pit. Because Satan is not an originator, he's a duplicator. He'll just keep doing the same things over and over and over and over and over again from the very beginning of time. He'll use deception and he still uses it today. But you'll notice first of all that he turned people against Jeremiah. He turned people against him. In fact, you'll find that he was probably one of the most hated prophets in the Word of God. They lied against him. They schemed against him. They hated him. In fact, as he was called into the ministry, God told him in Jeremiah 1:8, he says, Be not afraid of their faces. What God was telling him, get your eyes off of people and look to me, because people will let you down. Hey, listen this morning. We need to stop letting people be our spiritual thermometer. People will let you down. People will lie against you, preacher. They'll talk about you. They'll have cooked preacher for lunch on Sunday afternoons. Hey, listen, deacons, they will speak against you. They will lie against you. In fact, every Christian here under the sound of my voice today, people will let you down. That's why we can't look to people for our help. Our help cometh from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. And you say, well, you don't know what they've done to me. They've been bad to me. Well, they'll never be more bad to you than God's been good to you. Amen. It don't matter. Get over it. Get over it. People will let you down, but God will always be faithful. Hallelujah. He turned people against him, and he also tormented his mind. You'll find that throughout the book of Jeremiah, he had depression and he suffered from anxiety. I have never met so many people in my life on a daily basis. Good Christian people that come down with depression and anxiety and fear, and it's a real sickness. It's a real problem in their lives. And even Tammy Jones, I appreciate her sharing her heart with us last night. How she even said at one point, I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to give up. And all of us, every preacher on Monday morning wants to say that. Amen. We get depressed and we get anxious, and Satan will use that and start to play with our minds, and realize we do not battle Satan with our fists. We battle Satan in our mind. That's the battlefield. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places, against principalities, against powers, rulers of darkness in this world. So listen to me tonight, friend. Satan will use just the little itty bitty things to get you thinking things that aren't true. He is a liar and the father of lies. He'll get people to thinking, just because the preacher didn't shake my hand, that he don't love me. Well, just because someone didn't wave back at me at the mall when I saw him about 100 feet away. You ever thought they may not have saw you? You may think some other people may have bad days. I realize, listen, you can't let Satan torment your mind. And Jeremiah, he tormented his mind. But he also tried to get him to turn his back on God. Now, if you read Jeremiah chapter 20, one of those famous passages of Scripture, he got to this point in his life. He said, I quit! I'm done. I'm finished. And he said these words, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. He just wasn't saying, I'm quitting the ministry, I'm quitting preaching. No, he said, I'm quitting on God. And how many of us have come to camp meeting in Scepter, whether it be this year or in previous years, and have made that statement before you made the trip down? I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to give up. I'm ready to throw in the towel. And you'll say, well, what's the use? God doesn't care about me. People don't care about me. I'm doing my best and it seems to go nowhere. I might as well give up and quit. That's where Jeremiah's bit was at. And if I can just give you some good advice, don't give up, don't quit. If Satan would tempt you with those evil devices and to get you to turn around, listen, we are on the home stretch, the finish line. We can see it in the distance. We are so close to getting our reward. Don't give up, don't quit! Don't quit. Jeremiah was in a cesspool. He was in a septic tank. He was in the king's sewer line. And here he was in the pit, about ready to die. And if Satan would have had his way, he would have left them there. And if I stop the message and give an invitation, you say, Brian, where's the hope? Well, that's great, because I got great news. Because there is help on the other side of disaster. There is help for when you get in the pit. You'll notice three things about Jeremiah. First of all, he found help from his friends. He found help from his friends. Satan had him in the pit. He probably told Jeremiah all kinds of lies. Here you are in the pit, Jeremiah. You've been preaching all these years. No one said amen or even gave you a holy grunt. And now you're here in the pit and you need help. No one's going to help you. No one's going to come to your rescue. But thank God there was an Ethiopian. Someone that he didn't even know was his friend went to the king on his behalf. Oh, hallelujah. Someone in the darkest moment of his life when he was sunk in the pit, someone went to his behalf and said, King, let's go get him out of there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I've been in some pretty rotten pits. I've been sunk so far down that I didn't. In fact, you'll read if you get the illustration here. He was sunk so far down that it was going to take something supernatural to lift him up out of that pit. And so here he was, sunk so deep he couldn't get out himself. That's why he needed the help of some brethren to come and get him out of the pit. I don't know about you, but there have been times when I thought, and Satan would tell me, no one cares about you. Here you are stuck in your depression. Here you are stuck in your depravity. And no one cares about you. But thank God, just in time, on time, every time, God sent an Abed-Melech my way and said, Jeremiah, I'm here to help you. So Abed-Melech said, King, Jeremiah couldn't go to the king by himself. He couldn't. They didn't have cell phones back then. They didn't have Facebook. He couldn't send him a personal message and say, King, I'm down here, come and get me out. No, he had to have someone to go on his behalf to the king. And sometimes, I'll be very honest with you, Todd Black, I don't feel like praying. Sometimes I don't think my prayers are even getting above the ceiling. But thank God someone in tune with God goes to the king on my behalf and says, what? Hallelujah. Says, listen, there's someone named Brian Baer that needs help. They need out of the pit. You say, Brian, how do you know? Well, just this morning on my way over, I got a text from a preacher that I rarely even talk to. He said, brother, I don't know what's going on, but I felt like praying for you this morning. He had no idea I was preaching today. And I said, what perfect timing. Hallelujah. I needed some help and I got it for the brother. So he said, okay, here's what you do. Take 30 men with you and go get him. So Abed-Melech took 30 men and he found some old leftover rags. Oh, I'm glad God can use leftovers. Oh, hallelujah. Wasn't planning on saying that. Thank you, Lord. He took those leftover rags that were used for priestly garments. They were just pushed to the side. Didn't think they could ever be used good for the trash heap. But he took some men and some old rotten rags and he went to Jeremiah to help pull him out of the pit. Now listen, you'll notice that I don't know if Abed-Melech was in the back like a state job and giving orders, but I think it took all 31 of them. It took 31 of them working together. 31 of them working together. 31 of them working together to get the brother out of the pit. Hey, listen, sometimes it's more than a one-man job. It's going to take a lot of us coming together. Oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment that flowed down the beard, even Aaron's beard down to the skirts of his garment. I'm telling you what, folks, when we come together just like we are today, in unity, God looks down and sees all sort of denominations. And he said, they're not there because they're Free Will Baptists or they're Christian Baptists or Nazarene. They're there to worship me. And he pours his spirit down. And he sends help from above. A few days ago, I'll just share this and move on. A few days ago, I was sleeping at night, which is what you should do. But I had a dream. In the middle of... And God woke me up out of a deep sleep. And in that dream, I saw one man's face. I was in church. I saw one man's face. This brother right here.
Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord.
It's Brother Gary. It's Mike McCoy's song leader. Now, I've been in church down here with him. I've been to Mike McCoy's church one time in revival back in March. Gary's song leader. I've never talked to Gary since that point in time. He can vouch for that. To be very honest with you, I don't mean to sound negative, but I haven't even really thought about him. I pray for Mike. I pray for their church on a regular basis. But specifically Gary, hadn't crossed my mind. But the Lord woke me up and I saw him plain as day. Singing with a smile on his face. The joy of the Lord was in his heart. And God woke me up. I didn't look at the clock, but every preacher will tell you it's 3 a.m. I don't know what time it was. It didn't matter. I knelt by my bed and the Lord said, pray for him. He needs prayer right now. I said, okay, Lord. I had a good prayer. I got up and slept. The rest of them got up that next morning. And you know how we are as preachers. Well, wonder why I did that for. And so I put it off for 2 or 3 days. Now, I didn't know how to get a hold of him. I knew how to get a hold of Mike. So about 3 days later, I called Mike on the way home from work. I said, Mike, I know you're not going to think I'm crazy, but I just need to preface this and tell you. You might think I'm crazy. But I told him what happened. The next thing I hear is Mike McCoy shouting all over his house. He said, brother, 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 brother. You know how Mike is. Brother, brother, brother. The Lord has heard our prayer. I said, what are you talking about? He said, I just got done praying about 3 days ago that the Lord, Gary needs help. Gary's in a burden. Gary's in a battle. He's even told me he's about ready to give up and quit. And I said, Lord, send someone that'll pray and let us know that you're hearing our prayer. And thank God, the Holy Spirit. Woo! Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! 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 Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And you know what the Spirit was doing? Grab onto them rags. Yeah. Grab onto them rags, brother. Grab on, I'm pulling you out. I'm pulling you out. I'm pulling you out. Hallelujah! Help is on the way! Yeah. Help. Help. But he also found hope. I stopped short in Jeremiah 20 when he said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. He said, I quit. I give up. I'm done. Oh, but I love them heavenly conjunctions. But His Word was in my heart as a fire shut up in my bones. He said, as much as I wanted to quit, I couldn't quit. Because the Word was in me as a fire, I couldn't help but get it out. Boy, I love it when the brethren are there to help us and pull us out. But I'm telling you, there's nothing that'll pull you out of the pit any quicker than the hope you find in the precious book. The precious Word of God. I wish y'all could meet my Papa James Ray. Whoo! My Papa James Ray, he'd be high on the hog in this kind of a meeting. This is what he lives for. He lives for church. Got 6 preachers in his family, including grandkids and children. He's a deacon where I grew up. Loves the Lord with all of his heart. And you don't have to meet him but 2 seconds to know. Number one, he'll ask you if you're saved. Number two, he'll ask you if you read your Bible. If you got any habits, he'll tell you they'll kill you if you don't stop them. That's Papaw. But he loves the Word. He reads 35 chapters at least a week. Every day of his life, he's got notebooks. Notebook after notebook stacked at his house of where he writes down the scriptures that he read. He's got COPD, and now he's worked in sawmill all of his life. And because of all that sawdust over the years, he can't hardly breathe now. He'll come in, and his skin's paper thin. He's got to wear gloves because if people shake his hand, he'll just rip his skin. But he never misses. He sits right there. He'll have his cane and his oxygen. Got up the other day, took his jacket coat off, said, "I got my rotor fixed now so I can wave my arm." But a few weeks ago, he was in the hospital, and the COPD had got him down, and he couldn't breathe, and so he needed some help, so he went to the hospital. And as he was in there, my mom was in there with him, and he started crying. And she said, "Dad, what's wrong? What's wrong?" He said, "Debbie, I haven't got my 35 chapters in this week." He said, "I'm about 5 short." He said, "I'm here in the hospital. I gotta get my 35 in. So I promised the Lord I gotta get it in." And she said, "Well, Dad, you know, I don't know. Thank God for the Gideons. Bless God." There in the drawer was a Gideon Bible. He opened it up, finished out his 5 chapters, and just happened to read one of his favorite verses, one of his favorite chapters. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. For 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is the Most High, even thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." I don't know about you, but I'm thankful this morning that when the brethren are there, I can turn to the book and find hope in this world. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Finally, he found healing. He found healing. Over there in chapter 8, he got to preaching, you know, and no one's listening to him. And that, probably in frustration. "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there not a physician there? Why then are the daughter of my people hurt?" He's saying is, there's healing available. So why don't you go and get it? He had the answer. But no one would go and get it. But he knew where the healing came from. It came from that balsam tree. You preachers preached about this. I ain't telling you nothing you don't know, but let me just remind you about this balsam tree. See, this balm of Gilead was taken from the sap of this balsam tree. And they would say that this balm was used to cleanse wounds and to soothe hurts. To cleanse wounds and to soothe hurts. Could only be found in one place. It was found in Gilead. Gilead is known, and that word means hilly country. In fact, the tree was found on a hill. And the balm from that tree found on a hill was able to cleanse wounds and to soothe hurts. Oh, hallelujah. But. The balm did just not flow off the tree. No, the bark. The bark had a sweet fragrance. So if you didn't know exactly... If you didn't know exactly which tree to go to, just follow the fragrance. Hallelujah. It smelled of a sweet perfume, and the bark would lead you to the tree. But you couldn't just touch the tree to be healed. No, you had to pierce the side of the tree. You couldn't get it from the top. You couldn't get it from the bottom. No, but they had to pierce the side of the tree. And out of that side of that tree would come the precious ointment that would fall. And that precious ointment was available to anyone that needed healing. Hallelujah. And they say, Todd, that as soon as you touched the bomb, it began to work immediately. Just one touch from the bomb, it would begin to heal immediately. I'm thankful when I came to the old rugged cross of Calvary, where He was pierced on the side, and out went came blood and water. I'm glad when I was plunged beneath the crimson flow, I didn't have to wait for an hour or 2 hours or a week. No, immediately, hallelujah, the blood began to work. The tree was not hid behind walls or fences. The tree was available to whosoever. But here's the condition, and I'll close with this. You could pierce the tree. You could watch the sap flow down from the side of that tree. But it would do you no good. You could have went as far as to kneel at the tree. But it wouldn't work. It had to be applied. You can't just look at the blood. You can't just sing about it. You can't even kneel at the tree. You come there. But once you confess your sins and say, Lord, please forgive me, then that blood is applied. And thank God, I'm glad it's not hid somewhere that we have to go through an obstacle course or no secret codes or passages to get there. It's available to whosoever. And it's found in the same place, a tree on a hill called Calvary. And if you're in the pit of sin, I don't know your heart today, but if you're sunk in the pit of sin, we can do all we can to try to pull you out, but it ain't going to help. You'll just come out a stinky, dirty, smelly sinner. No, you need the balm. You need the healing from the balm, the precious blood of Calvary. Years ago, I wrote about this in one of our devotional books, and I will close with this. You all seem to like it. It's your fault. So, but years ago, my dad's a pharmacist and still is. And he had a little pharmacy where I grew up in Ohio. And a man came in. He was a nurse. And he said, Mark, do you have any myrrh here? And he said, No, I don't have any in stock. I can order it for you and get it here tomorrow. And he said, okay, would you please order me some myrrh? Don't need to be a lot. Just get me a few ounces and that'll be enough. So before he left, that's not a common item. And Dad said, well, can I ask you why you need this? Oh, he said, yeah, sure. He said, I'm a nurse and I work in a hospice wing. And he said, I specifically deal with cancer patients. And this specific type of cancer that I deal with, it's a flesh-eating type of cancer. And he said, I don't mean to be gross, but he said, as the skin deteriorates, there's a smell that fills the room. And he said, we have a name for it. We call it the smell of death. He said, because the cancer is just eating away. And he said, we've tried all kinds of candles and potpourri and to get that smell out, and it just will not work. He said, but we have found that if we take just a little bit of myrrh, oh, by the way, the main ingredient in myrrh, balm of Gilead. If we just put a little bit of that myrrh in that room, that myrrh overtakes the smell of death. And the patient can cross over in peace. Their family can be with them without the smell of death getting in the way. And as the skin worms devour this flesh, and if you lay my body in the ground one day, and I hope if you all are still living and I die before you, I hope you'll come to my funeral because I hope you love me enough to do that. But they may come into a hospice unit and I may be lying there. And Satan will still fight for that one last chance to get me. And death will come to try to take me away. But thank God, heaven's sweet rose. Just in time will come and overtake the smell of death and carry me home. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you've been beside of a loved one that has went on to be with the Lord. But I don't know about you, but I've been in some places when the saints have passed and you smell heaven come by. I'm looking forward to that happening to me one day, should the Lord take me by the way of the grave. And then we'll be in that place. We won't have to kneel at a tree anymore. We'll kneel at His blessed feet and praise Him for pulling us out of this awful pit that we live in today.